didn't understand the impact of you know, I had a concept. It was given to me. I mean, I was reading Tupper Saucy. I was reading P.D. Stewart. I was reading Scott. You know, I was, but I didn't have any idea that what I was writing about was going to come to the surface in about 5 years. Because, it's here, you know, it's here, and I pray to God that you know, I'm not angry. I'm not mad at anybody. But, I'll tell you what, you know, it's painful. It's so painful to see what is going on. Because it's not going on. It's not going on with guns. You know, it's not tanks and armies hitting our beaches. It's not like that. It's hitting spiritually through the whole world. You know, Larry sent me an article, but, well, I think you're the one that sent it to him, but just call it for what it is. It's an internment camp for the infected COVID. And there's a part of me that I can read it, and there's a part of me that still wants to deny that that's just propaganda. That's fear pump, fear, you know. I don't think ever in our time, you know, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is being put on the world. I mean, there's only one place. There's no answer to this. You know, it's not another variant. It's another vaccine. Another, yeah. Oh, it's amazing how the world has turned away from God. No, great. You know. Well, anyway, good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Is it Walt? I mean, that's. Why do you think I made that? What do you think I asked that question for? If you truly have freedom of religion, why are there obelisks popped all over the place, especially in the place of the parliament and in legislatures and in campuses?
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Larry.
That's a good, very good point, Adiola. In fact, I was talking to Walt last night, and he brought that up, that, you know, that you said that, and I kind of remember Walt inferring that before, and I thought, wow, you know, and it's not just all the capitals, like you said, but it's all the steeples on all the ecumenical churches.
Every church, I mean, yeah. This is every church, every graveyard, every monument, every border. What does it take me? It's either that or a pyramid you see. In the entertainment sector, even at universities. All you have to do, look at every university or every financial sector, you'll see it. Even building the buildings, depending, I'm not saying every building's a obelisk, but you can sort of, once you pay attention to it, it's sort of hard not to ignore.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Tori. And Tori. I'll see if I can get Rosette and Mark over here so they can say hi. They kind of dissipated there.
Morning, Tom and Tori.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, Walt.
Yeah, Adiola, even the Rockets, right?
Yeah. So this is why every time I, like, it was a conversation of Walt and I had talking about the freedom of religion and everything, and then I just thought about it. It's like, well, hey, Rosette, hey, Mark.
Morning.
Yeah, but like this is a conversation Walter and I were having. I was kind of ticked. It's like, how are we supposed to have free religion yet they're all this over the place? I just can't square it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't square that with me. It was suddenly just was kind of obvious.
All of a sudden, Walt and I were talking last night, and all of a sudden, after I received that link from you, Adeola, on that internment camp, that was a wake-up call for me. It really was. I mean, here we see right in front of our eyes someone who was in there for 14 days, and I sent that to Ashley, and he sent me an email back and said, you know, he said, my country, my entire country has become, how did he say it, like a mental institution around COVID-19.
Yep. You know, one thing it's done with me, it's humbled me. I was talking to Adeola the other day, you know, because I've been, you know, praise God, I'm not angry at man. I'm not angry at anyone, but I'll tell you, I have never been so down in my life, you know, because and I'll tell you the reason why. It's because all of a sudden what we're talking about, that obelisk that's in Washington D.C., that isn't something new they just built last year, you know. And to see some of this stuff happening like this, like that internment camp there in Australia. And I see how subtle it is. You know, I've been going to this little bakery and having a cup of coffee. I don't, you know. And I go there just to hear some noise. I mean, you know, to hear somebody else, and you know, just some noise, people talking, smiling, and the people that are working in the bakery, they're laughing and talking and being nice to the customers, you know, and they're not wearing a mask. This one little bakery, this group is not wearing the mask, not one of them. But then you see people come in all masked up, you know, and of course, you know, when this first started a couple of years ago, when it first started, you know, I wanted to repel it with words. But now I realize this is a spiritual, matter. And the bottom line is God's going to take care of us one way or another. That's where we're at right now. I couldn't. And I told Addie, I said, Addie, I don't want, you know, we might be hurting. I mean, I might be hurting and everything, but I am not striking out at you, Addie. I said, if I said something piercing to you right now, I couldn't take it. You know, it's a humbling time, and to be thankful for what we got. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I'm thankful for this little conversation, this little, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Thanks, Walt. And this has nothing to do with the conversation, and I apologize that I'm kind of breaking the wind of it. I've noticed a couple times this is in reference to Skype, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't messing up or neglecting somebody, but a few times it starts ringing because I have the app up all the time in the background. And it starts ringing. Does anybody know why?
Well, there's an option given, and I've been guilty of it a few times, especially on a couple times where you can actually ring prior participants to let them know the call is starting. That's the only thing I've done it a couple, three times. That's the only thing I can think of that could be coming from yours truly. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think one was from CH, which I'm assuming was Chris, and I think that was after the Bible study last Sunday or the Sunday before. I'm not sure what. But I just didn't want to neglect if somebody was actually calling me, but I didn't think that it was, so I just ignored it. So if I ignore something and it's supposed to be for me, please, guys, let me know.
Well, thank you. And, you know, Skype does have some glitches, like right now. It's whenever I click on participants, it's only showing me on the call. It's not showing anyone else on the call. So I don't, Skype does have its glitches, but as long as it works, I guess we'll just forge ahead.
Well, just when Tom was talking, a picture came up on my screen of somebody's backyard, like a wall of rock.
Yeah, on ours.
Did you see that too?
Yeah, it showed together mode. So I don't know if somebody accidentally clicked on the together mode or what. I think I did that in the very beginning too.
Okay, yeah, because I.
What?
What
mode do you have it clicked on, Tom, on the view mode? Is it grid mode or what?
I've got mine as grid view.
Okay, that's what I've got mine as right now, yeah. Okay.
But it's the steps are gone on my screen.
Yeah, they've left on mine too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess, Walt, it is good to see you. We missed you last week.
Yeah. Yeah. You're all right, Walt.
I was in Pasco last week, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry, when I sent that video, I watched it myself, and I was like, wow, I couldn't believe what I was watching, so I listened to it. I figured I'd send it to everybody.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I sent it out to a lot of people, and I posted it on I posted it on Facebook, Gab, Parler, MeWe. I mean, the word is out. Also, I thought that was a really interesting video you sent on the legal actions taken by that group, and the, you know, I think he called himself the man of the court.
Yeah.
He said, don't use my name. And I watched that whole thing. It was very informative, even though I didn't like watching the guy's face with all of his stuff stuck through his face. And
that was, the guy tattoo.
Oh man, that was, but.
Yeah, I should have gotten to know the guy. I mean, I know him personally, but I've spoken a few times. He's not a bad guy.
Oh, you do know him. Well,
Yeah.
He's very well versed on common law, I must say.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So he's the only one I've spoken to him a number of occasions. The point of that, if you would have listened to what he had said and what the woman had admitted, that was the key to the entire thing.
Right, and he kept stating over and over, I do not recognize this jurisdiction, you know. And so
but the lady admitted that it was the courthouse is a service corporation. Yeah. That was the entire thing.
Yeah, I thought it was very informative.
Yeah, personally, I listened to him a few weeks ago. I was shocked, and then I called him and I said, "She actually admitted that live in a recording." So yeah, just up and lit. I said, "You should have kept your mouth shut." But she openly admitted it, and that's on the web page. It's going real. It's going like people are going to pick up on that. So if she's able to admit that, what does it say about the court system as a whole? Every court system is a service corporation.
Well, back to the video, I was amazed that they could actually show up at that gal's house and, you know, demand that she go into quarantine when she didn't even test positive. She, you know, she tested negative. They did it as a means of punishment because she lied to them, but the point is, that just shows you how much corrupt power the governments can have over their people to show up and stuff them in a van and stick them there for 14 days and tell them where they can and can't walk and who they can and can't talk to and threaten them with $5,000 fines. I mean, you know, I think it personally, I hope it's going to be a while before it comes to the United States, but you know, that's probably the long range plan, I imagine.
Okay, well, Larry, let me ask you this question. How do you know they don't have it already built already? They haven't pulled anybody.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, I saw yesterday, Adeola, I'm not sure who sent it to me, but there was a meeting held by the, you know, all the World Health Organization, CDC, all these, and they want to come up with a policy, a world health policy. Oh, I know where I saw it. I saw it on Rick Wiles. A world health policy so that all the countries of the world are on the same page as to when to require a mandate for all the world population.
Adeola, actually, my understanding is that there is at least, we know of one for sure, and I know there's many others, but there are camps. There's one here in Washington that's just about 90 miles away from where we live.
Wow.
And so we've heard of others as well.
Yeah, there's one here in Canada, in Saskatchewan. It's probably more here in Ontario. There's a CFB base here, and they have a decommissioned army base, underground army base here. So they can easily convert that to a prison. It was a part of NORAD too.
And they can do the same thing with all the FEMA camps as well here in the United States.
Exactly. So yes, I mean yes, it was. I mean, I'm not underscoring how shocking it was in Australia. But here, I mean, it doesn't mean that they haven't had it continue for that, or to sit there and say, how can we convert these to internment camps?
I find it interesting that DeSantis is now building a structure so that he doesn't have to use the National Guard. He has a State Guard, and it's back. Basically, it's going to be militia.
Yep.
And his reasoning behind that is he doesn't want to have to be under the authority of the feds. I don't trust DeSantis, to be honest with you, because, you know, he, by his own admission, has already taken the jab. But I do find it interesting that he's doing that.
Yep, sir. And the other thing is, if you ever look at a map of Europe, is really easy to find in most cities. If you ever look at a map of the United States and Canada and look at all the cities, have you ever noticed that they all have ring roads around the cities?
I don't think so.
Yeah, look at every major city. Look at every major, it may not be obvious, but literally concentric circles around, like literally built into the freeway system. Every major city has a ring road around it. So if you want to cut a population off, like the majority of them, all you have to do is put guards at every major intersection coming into the city and in the ring road.
That's interesting because I heard yesterday somebody make the comment that all the federal highways were not for transporting, for people getting across the country. It was for the control of the population.
Yeah. Does it mean... All you have to do, like, go, I mean, like, Walt, Tory, all, like, on your spare time, pull out, look at Canada and the United States. It's the same setup. All you have to do is go look at a city, pull up a Google Maps or any map, and just look. There's a ring road around it. Some have two or three. Depending on the population density. But there's at least one major one. And then from there, from the center, it sort of spreads like a little spider's web. granted, you have to look at the design or location and everything, but generally speaking, it's you're able to tell. So anybody who tells you, I mean, when obviously you've no smoke, there's no place that is truly safe. At the same time, it's better to live in a smaller community outside of the major urban area than inside. So if one needs to flee, it's much easier to flee from a smaller area compared to a large urban center. So Larry, you are in a Shangri-La area, so don't sit here and give up on your location. until God tells you to move and get out of there, you have no idea. You're very fortunate in that little spot there.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of reminds me of what my dad used to tell me. You know, he says, just remember, they have the guns, okay? Well, you know, in the United States, no, I don't own firearms. Maybe I shouldn't say that on the air, but I don't. But, you know, the United States is still armed, and I asked someone the other day, actually I asked Todd Nielsen, I said, do you believe, by the way, welcome aboard George and Louise, glad to have you with us today. But I asked Todd, with the United States being armed and all of these ammunitions and all these gun clubs and everything, if they actually continue to push for this mandate, is the United States population going to push back? Unlike, because, you know, we know that Canada is basically unarmed, right, Adeola?
No, not necessarily, because the government is trying to do this buyback program for years.
Okay.
And it's large, there's a huge contingent of gun owners are basically saying, no, Canada's not totally unarmed. They want to. Like, I personally have had my gun license for 5 years before I said, you know what, I don't need it anymore. So it's given me a much better understanding of the gun culture. And I'll tell you, Canada's not as disarmed as people like me get out to be. It's like you want to see it in more urban communities. The moment you leave the urban communities, there's a huge gun culture here. It's not as prevalent as you see in the United States in terms of being in the media.
Well, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. Walt, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, you know, this is a spiritual. Okay, I see. This war is a spiritual war. You know, those gun owners, some of those gun owners could be vaccinated too.
You know, that's true.
And this is definitely a spiritual war. And they're not doing this with guns. This whole, for the last 2 years, they've made the world a prison.
No, Larry, it's one giant, no, Walt, it's one giant Jesuit reduction. That's all it is.
Yes, and you know, also, you know, I watched this one video. This couple, they had an airplane, a Fox, an airplane that, and, you know, I used to have an airplane, so I was kind of, I followed them, you know, and she's from Lithuania, she's from Latvia. And I followed him. He was over here on a work visa or something, and way before all this started, see. And so after this thing got started, you know, she couldn't go back. She couldn't go back. So they lifted the ban. So they went. They had already got married. They've been married 2 years, but they were cut off from their family, so they went back to Latvia and had a wedding. Well, see, I'm just following what they had to go through. When they flew to Europe, You know, I'm not going to tell you the whole pattern. They had to, you know, get hops here and there. Anyway, they were under a mask for 20 hours.
No, you're going to go with the squall together.
And then when they got to Latvia and they showed the celebration, everybody at the wedding was masked up. And I could tell by the group of people that there's been a stiffer arm on them than it has been here in the United States. And what I'm saying again, see, it's a spiritual war. You know, I realize this war here is not going to be fought. The guns are, you know, that's good. This whole thing, they built these internment camps and they've been without guns. They just came over the media and said that there's going to be a lockdown. Everybody go to your room and stay home for 2 weeks. And everybody complies.
And that's the distressing part.
Well, it shows you. It shows you that they've been, you know, they've been. We're under Ignatius Loyola's spirituality. That's how Satan works. Satan works spiritually. And they isolate us. You know, I feel better when I'm around a group of like-minded people. But when I'm by myself like this out here, sometimes, you know, it's not fun, you know. But I understand, Walt, don't get weak. There's everybody. I can slip into Adeola's boots, Tom's boots, Louise's boots. You know, they've got to go on, and Walt's got to go on. Whatever, and we got to do one day at a time.
Yeah.
And I never thought, you know, it's like that, you know, the book that I put together. I was just saying earlier, I never thought the Vatican Jesuit global conspiracy would go public in my lifetime. This is what we see today is nothing more than the beast, Mystery Babylon.
What, do you think anyone thought about it? It would come out like that?
And I never thought it would come in my lifetime. I've been, this little booklet, I put this little booklet together of different authors, you know, but I never thought it would come in my lifetime.
But Walt, do we really think any of us thought it would come in our lifetime?
No, just like we were discussing earlier. We were discussing about the obelisk. Now, this is a perfect example. Here's Walt. I'm 20 years old, and I'm sent back east, TTY, out of my outfit. I was on a missile site, and I went to an engineer school. and I went into Washington, D.C., and I was a proud American. Boy, I had a little brownie 127 camera, and I took a picture of the obelisk at every single angle. You know, I went inside the Capitol. I have toured Washington, D.C. three times, and took the last visit, I took my family, and I flew across the United States in 1977. And I went into the Capitol building and looked up at the dome of the apotheosis. Here's George Washington deified in the dome of the Capitol. You know, and probably the biggest delusion. The whole world under a delusion. America, you know, was not founded by Christians. And this information, and the reason when I put this book together is I gathered four or five different sources of authors that weren't talking together, but they were singing the same tune. And now it's here. You know, the Jesuits' profound influence on the founding of the documents of America, including the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the virtual takeover of America, as we can see clearly, the clear takeover, and this is not just affecting us. This is going on worldwide. They're playing the pandemic. They're playing this agenda over the whole world, you know. And
for everybody's information, Walt's book is now available on Lulu, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And all you have to do is go to Lulu.
Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, all you have to do is go to Lulu.com and put in the title, and it'll come up. And I don't know if Louise, I think, ordered a couple copies. I don't know if she's gotten those yet. Hopefully she has. But it is an excellent book. I've read it. I've looked at it. In fact, I did a message here a while back entitled The Profound Influence of Roman Catholicism on the World. And probably 90% of that message was taken out of that book. So it's an excellent resource.
Well, and it's astounding. Understand, I'm not trying to pound my chest. I'm not, you know, it's what's astounding to me is I went and got it out of the library. I got it from the post office yesterday, and I opened it up in the parking lot, and I started reading. I started reading some of the book, and I couldn't believe, because what I was doing as I was relating to what is going on right in my little town. And then Adeola sends that message, that internment camp there in Australia. You know, all you have to do is change the title to the Vatican Jesuit Global Pandemic. Same thing.
So, Walt, like I said, God put you there in your area for a reason. We may not have been fully what, but he put you there for a reason. Like each and every one of us.
Yeah, you know, and God's got a hand on us.
Yeah.
God's got a hand on us. I mean, you know, like,
this is a spot where I keep, like I try to tell you and each and every one of us, we may not fully understand. I mean, it may not look like to with how this world sees it, it looks like we don't have much. But really, we do have a lot, considering we each have a different path to get to this point.
And understanding.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I mean, because you know, we can read through history. There's many, many people, millions of people that have give their life, and you know.
Okay, Walt, let me finish what I was about to say here. We may not fully understand why we're where God has revealed it to us, and we're each in our own spot.
Let me finish.
When we really take a step back and think of it, we really take a step back and look at how God has brought us each here to this point in our lives. God has had a hand in our lives to get to this point through His Son, Jesus Christ. We may not realize it sometimes, but the hand is there, like guiding us to this point in his own way, in a way we can understand.
Well, that's what I was getting at, too. That I can see that more so. Everything you said, this event is bringing it to the head.
Yeah.
This is now when we read the Bible and we read Ephesians, you know, and we read Proverbs. The other morning I opened to Psalms 91, but then I opened with Proverbs. I just because when I go to Psalms, you know, it's right in the middle of the book. So but if you're not right, there, you'll get Proverbs. And anyway, man, I'm telling you, brother, I mean, this is, This is the Bible is the living Bible now. I mean, it's always been the living Bible, but it's you know, though it was written thousands of years ago,
can you hand me a toothpick?
It's more prevalent today than it was when it was written.
And the question is, the question I always ask myself every time I go through a particular chapter and verse in God's Word. First thing that first question on my mind is, are we any different today?
Yeah. Well, good morning, George. You know.
Morning, you know, George.
He might be in a position where he can't talk. But, yeah, praise God. Well, any way, you know, too, I got a, and I think all of us have, you know, are dealing with our heart right now. Yeah.
Well, we heard, I think it was second chapter. Were we in the second chapter, Tom, last week? I believe we were, of Jeremiah.
Yes, we were.
I've got the third chapter of Jeremiah queued up. If you guys want to listen to that, it's 25 verses, so it's not short. Do you want to do that, or what do you want to do? I guess silence. I guess silence gives consent.
Jeremiah
3. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms, and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger for ever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken, and done evil things as thou couldst. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah, the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain, and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom, that she defiled the land, and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go, and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger for ever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God.
Well, you know, that's not just a reference to Jeremiah and his time, but it's a reference to all the way down through history when those, when people have gotten away from the Bible and his word and his commandments, the statutes and so on. So that's what we've seen. And I think you don't really hear a lot of messages anymore about sin, you know, that, and this whole Department of Justice and the criminal justice system has so watered down crime in this country. I mean, you look in the blue cities, now they're in parts of New York, people are breaking into businesses, and as long as they don't steal over $1,000, they're just charged with a misdemeanor and put right back on the street again. And it reminds me of the passage that says they'll call evil good and good evil. And that's exactly what's happening across America and the world. I mean, when you have your own Center for Disease Control and the FDA covering up the massive deaths and side effects of this medication, and then they try to get a federal court to not release that information for 55 years. And now that information, because a judge said yes, they can go ahead and release that information. And now that information is coming out, and it's proof positive the FDA absolutely tried to cover this information up. And maybe that's not really apropos, but I think it's apropos for what Jeremiah has to say. George, did you want to say something?
Well, good afternoon, good morning, hello, everybody, Larry, Walt, Adiola, Tom, Luis, and whoever else might be listening. To your friends in North America, Europe, Australia, and so, anywhere else. Okay, couple things. I just want to say something. I believe Larry just sent me a video from Richie from Boston. And I just want, for those who have not seen the video, and there are other assumptions out there, the alleged virus, SARS-CoV-2, the severe acute respiratory syndrome virus, has never been isolated, i.e. identified. So that means several things. One, how could they possibly come up with a test for it? Two, how could they possibly come up with an alleged vaccine for it? Three, how could there possibly be mutations and variants for them? Well, the answer is, ding, 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 there is none of those. And by the way, I didn't want to say for the record, all quack scenes, as in 100%, are dangerous. Traditionally, they killed you over the course of a lifetime. They gave you other problems like autoimmune diseases, like lupus, fibromyalgia, and other things that most people can't spell or pronounce. Also, according to the video, and I've known this for close to 2 years, the inventor of the PCR, polymerase chain reactor, Curry Mullis, said it was never meant to diagnose any illness. It was only meant to identify genetic material. And he said you can use it and abuse it to find anything you want in people. Okay, so this is a fraud from stem to stern. I think I've said that before. Therefore, as I said, since there's no COVID, there are no scariness of it. Omicron, Delta, or whatever terms they like to call them. You might as well call them the peanut butter and jelly variant, because that would be just as valid. And I'm sure I'm not the first one to point this out, but if you look up the word Omicron, which is supposed to be the 15th Greek letter, is an anagram for moronic. If you look at both words, Delta and Omicron, this is an anagram for media control. So this is, in addition to being an epic false flag, this has been a massive psychological operation, PSYOP, which is a ruse or a deception. Part of that ruse is they have untold number of people believing that there's some sort of airborne contagious pathogen out there, SARS-CoV-2 or one of the alleged variants. And of course, if you read the propaganda machine, i.e. the mainstream media, it's true. After all, a few days ago, Joe Biden, the president of America, gave a speech as how he's going to combat this latest scariot, Omicron. So how is he going to do that? More tyranny, more superstition, more terror, more fines. So hey, if it's worked so far, if it's worked for almost a year for him, more is good. Oh, and can I just mention a couple other things before I get off my soapbox? As I mentioned several times before, I live in Sonoma County, California, which is roughly an hour or so north of San Francisco, maybe 45 minutes, depending upon the traffic. The town in which I live is called Cotati, California, C-O-T-A-T-I. It's a tiny community of less than 10,000 people. Well, the adjacent community is called Runnert Park, R-O-H-N-E-R-T space park. Cotati was founded in 1963 and Runnert Park the year before. And so why do I bring up these little factoids? Well, the founder of Runnert Park was a fellow by the name of Morris Fredericks. He lived from 1925 to 2018. And I looked this up in his obituary in the local paper. Mr. Fredericks went to St. Vincent de Paul High School in Petaluma, which is a town just south of here, and he got his undergrad and law degrees from the University of Santa Clara. So in other words, a lay Jesuit founded this town called Runnert Park, California. Now, for what it's worth, Sonoma County, in April of last year, was the first jurisdiction in the United States to issue the mask order. This was a few days ahead of New York State. So they beat Andrew Cuomo to the punch, who also was trained by the Jesuits, but that's besides the point. And as I said, I live in the People's Republic of California. We have 58 counties. Now, each county has a health, most counties have a health officer and a health director. Almost all of the health officers and health directors were hired just prior to the pandemic, like late 2019, early 2020. Almost all of whom have some sort of nexus with the CDC or the World Health Organization, or both. And as I mentioned before, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, was founded in 1946, July the 1st, by Joseph Mountain, who lived from 1891 to 1952. Mountain got his undergrad and medical degrees from Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So in other words, the CDC is nothing more than an arm of the Counter-Reformation. But if you look at almost any other American alphabet soup organization, the CIA, FBI, and so forth, you'll find that's the case.
Good point, you know, and also that video that you alluded to, George, put out by Richie from Boston, he entitled it, "The Vaccine is the Disease." And by the way, on that video that George alluding to, I would encourage everybody to watch that video because there's overwhelming testimonies of family members, friends, loved ones that have had people very close to them die within 24 hours of receiving the jab. And so the history that George is bringing us is relevant to how this is being enforced in the United States and throughout the world. And now, they're forcing it on children. They're forcing it on 5 to 8 year olds. 5 to 8 year olds are going to die. And so, you know, George points out about these Jesuit controlled little towns and not just the little town adjacent to him, but all over the United States, there are these people that start these little towns. They're in a little, they want power. They have a Jesuit background, and that's why we have a majority of Jesuits now controlling the Supreme Court.
If I may, getting back to Jeremiah, a couple things I noticed is the Lord says that he wrote a divorce for Israel. And yet later on he calls Israel his wife, they were married. And he called them children. I thought it was very interesting. And then also in Jeremiah 3:8-9, it says, "And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks." In other words, it was spiritual adultery, the stones and stocks. I can only assume, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, but those were idols that were made by them. And how I read it, he is speaking of Judah that committed this adultery. And my thought was, what do we make idols out of? We make idols out of people. We make idols out of music. A lot of people make idols out of food. They idolize buildings. And today, especially, we see it as people idolizing Earth. That's why they want to get rid of people. The whole pandemic.
Well, Tom, words well spoken. It's the corruption that we're, you know, witnessing right now. It can only mean that, you know, that the second coming is near, because I believe that we have surpassed the flood. What's going on in the flood,
That's why God destroyed except 8 people. And I you know, and now we have the promises of the second coming. Because it's infiltrated, completely infiltrated the world. You know.
Yeah, another thing that stood out was verses 12 and 13. He says, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, of backsliding Israel. Saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and has scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Now, those that acknowledge are his children, but as a very good saying that my wife says, you need to own it. We need to own our sin. That is acknowledging it, and we can only acknowledge it if we have eyes to see.
That is so true, what you said, Tom. You know, I mean, we can look outward. We can look at all the idolatry and graven images and sins around us. But I think, for me, I've been having to be honest and look inward, you know, and realize that, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about sin, which is, sin is merely a breaking of God's perfect law, which he only kept himself. No one's kept, but we have an advocate with Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that's why we're told that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I believe I'm with you and with Tori that we are commanded. And by the way, the only way we can see our sin is if the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who grants us repentance. It's not something that we drum up of ourselves. And sometimes I look at my own proneness to sin and I shake my head. How many times have we resolved not to commit that one kind of sin again, and then we find ourselves back doing it over and over? Now, it's true that if we're elect children of God, that God's forgiven us all of our sins, our past, present, and future sins. But I believe that for God's elect, that he will bring us to a point of repentance when we commit these actual sins. So I agree with everything Tom has said, that we need to be examining ourselves. It's good to look outward, but it's also it's good to look inward.
Amen. And it's interesting because I'm sure I've read this chapter in the past, and I just gloss over it as usual until the Lord gives you a little bit of eyes to see. A question was posed to me by somebody whom I was corresponding with in the regular mail. So it was, over a couple of letters. But the question was, suppose a man finds that his wife has committed adultery and divorces her. Can he remarry her if he falls in love with her again, even though she is still committing adultery? And there was no correlation to this chapter in the beginning. And I had no idea what he was talking about, But so finally he said, no, this is in reference to Jeremiah chapter 3. And quite frankly, I don't see that in this chapter. There's so much about Israel, yes, committing spiritual adultery, but yet he calls him, he says that they are married. Yes, he writes them a bill of divorce, but yet he says we are married, and he calls them children. To me, it correlates with not all Israel is Israel. He never divorced his true bride. I don't believe that he did. He might have divorced the Israel as a physical entity, but never spiritually. And just there's so much more to this chapter than just what this person had to say. And he asked this because he knew my stand on why I left my our last church, is why it was opposed. And so we stopped corresponding shortly after this, and so we really never talked about it.
Yes, because the position that he was taking was a denial of eternal life and election by God. And Romans 8:28 through 39, which says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we have example after example of that. I mean, even King David, who committed physical adultery with Bathsheba, but God did not divorce David. And so I'm not justifying fornication or adultery, but what I am saying is that if we're children of God, if we've been born again by His Spirit, if we've been given eternal life, God is going to see that we persevere in the faith. And that gives me, a sinner saved by grace, great comfort, because I know how many times I have faltered and failed, you know. And so when someone, you know, now I believe the Holy Spirit can and does give His children the power to resist sin. I mean, Christ's prayer, the Lord's prayer says, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay? I've heard different renditions of that. People say that, you know, that should be changed. It says, leave us not in temptation. No, it says, lead us not into temptation. And you're right, Tom. It's a minute by minute walk. The scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our very being.
Yeah, it's like Paul said, that in me dwelleth no good thing. It's a constant fight. And I've heard people trying to justify it by saying, oh, that was Paul in the very beginning. No, I believe that was Paul in the very end, because the more we are with the Lord, the more He shows us our sin, the more He shows us how much we fail. And it's all in our flesh.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, Tom, especially coming from the holiness background, you know, that seventh chapter of Romans, you know, and how that was then, and that was a message to before the new creation and before a person's born again. I don't believe that at all. In fact, I would go so far to say, you know, I have to base reality on my own experience as a confessing Christian. And I'm with you, Tom. I think Satan, and I do believe as it relates to this discussion today regarding what's going on, that Satan has been loosed. And the scripture says that he will overcome the saints. I don't know what all that means, but it's pretty specific, you know. What it means, as to the fact that there's gonna come the time when he is gonna have a temporary victory over the saints. That's the way I view it. Now again, that's not anything as it relates to eternal victory. that's in this physical world, he's going, you know, that's, and I believe that this is a precursor to setting up the mark of the beast. That's my opinion. You know, if scripture means anything when it says they will not be able to buy or sell save they have the mark, if scripture means anything at all, written 2,000 years ago, I think it's remarkable that it was revealed to John 2,000 years ago what we see taking shape right here in our world today.
And also, you know, what's happening with me is God is revealing to my sins what I really made of, but also revealing the sins of the world. And it started in the garden.
It actually started in heaven, but. Yeah, it actually even started in heaven when Satan said, "I will arise and be as God." I mean, that's, you know, and there was war in heaven. And today we're still the recipients of that war in heaven and the imminent fall of Adam, and it plunged the whole human race into being dead in their trespasses and sin. So, well, I've really enjoyed this call so far, and it's always, I'm like, well, it's good to be able to talk to like-minded people. There's very few people out there you can have this kind of discussion with. They look at you and their eyes kind of glaze over, and it's like, you know, why are you talking? Why aren't you talking about the, you know, who's in the ranks for the football games or the soccer games, or, you know, why aren't you talking about going to Beaver Lake, or, you know, it's like, you know, they're marrying and giving in marriage in Noah till Noah entered into the ark. So, that's kind of my final thoughts for today.
Okay. Larry, do you mind if I just close out with something?
No, please do. Go ahead.
So, is Adiola still with us?
I'm listening right now.
Oh, okay. I didn't see your icon. Okay, so a couple of things. Larry, you just brought up a salient point in that you said, and why are we talking about things of substance, things of spiritual substance, rather than bread and circuses? Like, who's going to win the ball game? Who's going to win the Super Bowl, the World Series, or whatever? Or who? Yes, that is what Satan, through his minions, the Jesuits and their minions, the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, and so forth, that's what they like to do. They like to distract us with entertainment. Bread and circuses, sports, be it collegiate or professional. And I know I've fallen for this trap. I'm still occasionally guilty of this myself. But I realize most people, even professed Christians, do not like talking about things that have eternal value. They like talking about frivolous things, like the ball game, or whatever, or who's going to win the Oscars, or you know, fill in the blank. However, and it's very disconcerting. Now, I can understand unsaved people having that attitude, but those who profess to call themselves Christians, I find that disconcerting. I mentioned my problems I've had with my congregation, soon to be ex-congregation. Well, let me just say something, and I realize this is not a revelation to anybody. The days of the mainstream, above-ground establishment church, regardless of its affiliation, are over. The true believers
have to go underground, just like they had to do in China, just like they had to do in places like Nigeria and much of Africa. Because, speaking of places like Nigeria, this has been in effect since at least September. The government mandated that all people who go to any type of house worship, church, mosque, whatever, have to furnish proof of injection. That is nationwide. And it is simply a matter of time before it comes to places like the U.S. or Canada or any other so-called Western country. And you're going to have people who claim to be Christians, pastors, people whom you thought were your brethren, people whom you thought were your friends. They're going to turn on you. They said, no, you can't come here unless you have proof of that poke. And as I said, this is more than disconcerting. This is disheartening. And something I just wanted to address, I mentioned this when I spoke earlier, is the massive nonstop propaganda to which we have been subjected to for the last 2 years. And I realize this has been going longer than 200 years. This has been going on for hundreds of years. Almost everything you read, watch, or listen to is propaganda. Is an agenda, whether it's pop music, jazz, country, whatever, they have an agenda. They want you to either accept an idea or reject an idea, whether you're talking television, films, whatever. They want you to believe the idea that fornication, premarital sex, is okay and acceptable. Or deviant sex, homosexuality, whatever, that is acceptable. And, of course, another element of that is viruses. There are these scary boogeyman bugs out there. They're just hiding behind every tree and underneath every rock. They're waiting to get you. And the only thing you can do is just listen to these health experts. Listen to the World Health Organization. Listen to CDC. Listen to Tony Fauci. Because they're way more educated and intelligent than you could ever possibly be. And you don't know what you're talking about. Now, for what it's worth, propaganda is a Catholic term. It means propagation of the faith, i.e. the Catholic faith. It was coined roughly 400 years ago, back in the early 17th century. It was something that the Vatican put out through their Jesuits to basically impugn and attack any sort of dissenting view, Protestant or otherwise. Now, something I need to bring up. Now, let me just say something for the record. All propaganda is religious. All propaganda is Catholic. And they appear to be secular. Nazi, back in the 1930s, or communist, or whatever. But who created those ideologies? The Jesuits. So, that's all I had to share for right now.
Well, really, really good points. And, also I want to say that, another thing I heard yesterday is that the pandemic has nothing to do with COVID-19. It has everything to do with all the other genres like climate change and, the acceptance of all of these, perverse lifestyles, accepting the homosexual community. There's nothing new. I mean, this was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it was down to what? They got down to what? 10 people? He said he'd save, and he couldn't find 10 righteous people in Sodom, so he burnt the whole city down. And right now, people have to be careful what they say about sodomites. They used to call them sodomites, and now they've come up with this new word, gay. There's nothing gay about it. And the reason I'm bringing up this LGBT and all this is that this is going to be the other vaccine requirement. You're going to have to take the vaccination of acceptance of homosexuality. And if you don't take the vaccination of acceptance of homosexuality, then you're going to be deemed a terrorist, a bigot, a person that needs to be isolated and retrained to accept this vaccination of deviant lifestyle. That's the next thing on the agenda. If you don't accept, and by the way, back to what George was saying about, you know, brick and mortar churches, that's being implemented right now across the board in churches. They now have a whole new theology about LGBT and homosexuality. If you don't believe it, just listen to a little bit of T.D. Jakes, who's now endorsed homosexual lifestyle. So that's the next vaccine. That's the booster. That's the next booster, LGBT vaccination. I'm through. Did anybody have any final comments?
Well, I think that's so true, Larry.
Okay.
The vaccination has been going on for a long time, and now it's turned to a physical. You know, so yeah, but it's a good point.
Okay, could I just interject one last thing?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I would say, I'm not going to say I disagree. I would just have to say they're going to drag out this plandemic, scandemic, whatever we're going to call it, for as long as possible. However, yes, the whole deviant behavior, the LGBTQ, whatever they're calling it, lifestyle. I mean, every year they seem to add another letter. So basically, I no longer keep track of it. So, and Larry just intimated at this. So they're going to drag out this pandemic, scandemic as long as possible. For what they're going to keep fabricating other variants. Now it's the moronic, and in a few months it'll be something else. And as I said, it doesn't matter what they call it, because COVID doesn't exist. SARS-CoV-2 has never been isolated. So, but anyhow, so from what I've read from various sources, the next big health crisis is going to be SPARS, which I believe stands for Severe Pulmonary Acute Respiratory Syndromes. And this is supposed to be really scary, really deadly. What they'll do is people who are getting sick from the injections will die from that, or it could be a combination of other things. And this, what I say for the record, all the people who died in 2020 died from what they normally died of. Flu, pneumonia, upper respiratory ailments, whatever. Or their doctors just flat out killed them. That's called iatrogenesis. Now the people who are dying in 2021 are dying from the injection. They're just saying that it was the unvaccinated or people who had a breakthrough. Vis-a-vis colon health. So, you know, the next thing that's on their docket is climate change. I know Larry alluded to this. Now, by the way, that climate change is about as real as stars. Yes, there is such a thing as weather manipulation, weather modification. They've had a technology for generations. The Jesuits can artificially increase the temperature or decrease it, then create hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, fires, you know, whatever. And they say, oh, this is because of anthropogenic, i.e. man-made climate change. So that's why we need to stop eating meat. That's why we need to stop driving cars or whatever. So probably between now and 2030, in Europe, North America, Australia, best in the rest of the developed world, they're going to put serious limits as to how many calories you can consume per day, therefore what you can eat, how much. They'll put limits as to how far you can travel from your home, you know, whether it's kilometers or miles or whatever, you know, where, depending on where you're living. Like, you'll only be allowed to travel 10 kilometers or 10 miles from your house or whatever. In order to go beyond that, you'll have to get permission. It's for a medical appointment, for your job, whatever. I realize this is not applicable to many of you, but this will definitely be applicable to your children and grandchildren. They're going to put limits as to how many children you can have, or whether you can have any at all. And you're talking probably people will be only allowed to have one, maybe two, if that. And of course, just as they've got in Red China, they're going to implement the social credit score. They want to see how compliant you are. So if you have a bad score, you can't. you know, get an apartment. You can't take the bus. You can't take the subway, you know, depending on where you live. This is the world that is going to be here very soon. It has already been implemented. I understand in Ontario, Canada, you cannot go to a restaurant or whatever, New York City, San Francisco, places like that. You cannot go to any place like a restaurant, a club, bar, gym, unless you can furnish proof of the injection. And this is already happening in places like Australia and various parts of Europe, like Austria, like France, Italy, Greece. And so let me see if I have this straight. One of the alleged symptoms of this alleged illness is people have a hard time breathing. I know. What we'll do is we'll make it harder for you to breathe. We'll require you to wear a mask. One of the major reasons why people get sick in general is because they've been poisoned. Oh, we know. How will we make you better? We'll inject more poison in you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's definitely that's definitely the agenda, and we see it with all these boosters, with all these requirements, with now they're wanting to digitally track whether you're fully vaccinated, and they've changed the rules of what constitutes fully vaccinated. So I'm just glad to know that there are a few people that their eyes have been opened, and I think the more people that die and the more testimonies we get of people that die right after they get the jab will serve to open more people's eyes. But I'm with Walt. I don't see this turning around and there being a great reformation against the vaccination. I just don't see it. So,
you know, Larry, I think we just should close with a prayer, because this is overwhelming when God opens our eyes to what's really going on. I mean, this is not the 1950s. You know, this is not the 1930s. You know, so, you know, God, I'd like to say a prayer. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity for us to fellowship today. And Lord God, just breathe strength into every single part of our every molecule in our body to live 24/7 every single minute, you know, in your care. And praise God that you'll protect us, that you have been protecting us, Lord, the fact that we still understand what's going on. But I ask this in Jesus' name, Lord God, come quickly. Amen.
Well, thank you, Walt, for that prayer. And I just want to thank George for your comments. Louise, I hope that you have a good week, good day, what's left. And Walt, look forward to seeing you hopefully on Wednesday night for the conference call. We have a Wednesday night conference call at 7:30 in the evening on Central Time. With that, I'm going to say good afternoon and may God bless.
Yes. And also I'd like to say to Larry, just a reminder, there is a Bible study at the same place here at 5:00. It's not a Bible study. I mean, it's definitely just Bible.
Yeah, you know? And that takes place at 7:00 Central and 5:00 Walt's time, and it will be on tonight with Paul Duranus, and he's going through the Book of Acts. And he has a very unusual style. He just goes scripture by scripture and then makes comments about it. So I'll send the link out to y'all on that too as well. So have a good afternoon.
Yes. Yes. God.
People were wound up today.